Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Coleman, co-host, and with me today is Max Cohen. In this episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Middlesbrough. Before that, we do have a few topics that we will discuss in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. We'll also have a discussion about Max's latest article. We have much to discuss in this episode of Cottage Talk, but before we do anything, I have to welcome back to the show, Mr. Cohen. Max, how you doing?
I'm doing good, as always, Russ. It's remarkable, in the middle of a January transfer window, there are actually matches being played. It's not just transfer speculation going on. So there'll be a nice break from all the rumors on the weekend. Actually, some football being played.
Absolutely, Max. Listen, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a huge fan of all the speculation. We have to talk about it, but I would rather talk football. That's number one for me, and watch football. But there is speculation, and we would not be doing our job with this podcast if we didn't talk about it. So we do have to talk about it, but I would prefer to focus more on the football. But we're going to split some time here talking about some transfer speculation. But before we do that, I want to talk about your latest article. Let's start there. I think it's a great way to start the show, which will lead into going into the Cottage Talk Roundtable. You wrote this on the Boot Room. You can go to tbrfootball.com. It is entitled, Why It Is Deja Vu for Slavisa Jokanovic at Craven Cottage. And talk a little bit about exactly what transpired last week. And we talked about that on the last show, Max, but you share your thoughts on it. And I'm going to just share the very end of your article because I find it's interesting. You have a quote from Slavisa after the last match. Here's a quote from BBC Radio London, quote, if somebody is hurt, sorry, I'm not going to talk anymore. That's in parentheses. Jokanovic told BBC Radio London, I'm going to be quiet and, also in parentheses, continue coaching my team. For the sake of Fulham and its stability, let us hope Slavisa Jokanovic honors his word. Those are your words, that last line. All right, Max, let's talk a little bit about your article. Share with our audience exactly what you wrote about here.
Yeah, I think the excerpt you read out is really a good way to introduce the article because that's kind of the main thesis of what I'm trying to say here. Is that for Slavisa to continue these public transfer outbursts, it's just hurting Fulham as a club, and it's just such a negative thing. And I've really detailed in the article that the numerous times that Slavisa has done this in the press and kind of shown this is nothing new. These things have been there for many times. I start out by saying last summer with the whole Shone Aluko controversy, where he said he's being completely ignored, and then said, I'd like Aluko to stay. And, of course, Aluko is later sold. That's just one example. That is an example of when, even when you're doing well, at the start of 2016, he said, we need more transfers, and said how he was frustrated. And the Craig Klein disaster as well was another example of how Slavisa was not seeing eye to eye with the club in terms of transfer policy. So everyone knows Slavisa doesn't agree with the club in terms of transfers, and he's very publicly said that. And where I take issue is the way he's expressing his displeasure.
Right.
I can sympathize with Slavisa in many respects. I think, certainly in the past, the transfer policy is something that he should be frustrated about, and I do sympathize with that. But the way he's dealing with it is worrying, because in most organizations and most companies, whether it's a football club or anything else for that matter, you don't take grievances publicly. You deal with these kind of things internally.
And exactly.
For me, that's what you should do. And I think it shows a bit of childishness, I think, from Slavisa, someone who doesn't really fully realize how to deal with these kind of issues. And that's worrying. If he's going to go run to the press every single time things happen, it just portrays a bad image of the club. And I hope, in the quotes you read out, he said he's going to be quiet. He's not going to continue to bring up these issues. And I say, for the sake of Fulham and stability, let's hope Slavisa actually does this. Because that will really, it's going to be beneficial if he just kind of stays quiet in the media and doesn't cause any more uproars.
Absolutely, Max. And we talked about this last week. If he can just do what this quote has, basically coaching his team and worry about that and everything else that he's concerned about, do that behind the scenes, I think that will help himself. I think it will help the club. And show that everyone is working together here. When you do this, it's divisive. And like you said, it doesn't show togetherness, that you're all on the same page. It shows a team that could potentially be in crisis. And right now, Fulham cannot look like a team in crisis. I don't think that they're a team in crisis at all. But again, it gives that perception. We are where we are in the table. We're not a team in crisis. Do we need players? Absolutely, Max. But there's a way to handle it. And it's behind the scenes and not in the press. And I'll say it again. That's why I am glad that you wrote this article. And that last sentence that you wrote, your opinion, really just chimes very true to me, Max. For the sake of form and its stability, let us hope Slavisa Jokanović honors his word. And I agree with that 100%. Just coach the team. Do your job. If you got issues, talk to the people that you need to talk to about behind the scenes and just keep it there. And let's worry about what's going on the pitch for him. And that should be his number one priority, which I'm sure it is. So worry about that. And you certainly can share your view on what's going on behind the scenes with the January transfer window. But just talk to those people. Don't talk to the press. Keep it out of the press. That's the way I look at it, Max, because then it leads to all this other talk, which is not good for a football team.
Exactly. And I really like what you said earlier about how stating that Fulham is not a club in crisis. And I really like that point. That's a point I also made in my article saying that, listen, we're not a club in crisis. And I listed,
not.
We have the Category 1 Academy status. We have the redevelopment of the Riverside Stand. We have a very healthy, the Academy players coming through to the first team. It's just so clear to me that people shouldn't overreact to these quotes. What I'm saying is, Fulham is not in crisis. We're a very healthy club, and Solis is doing this does not indicate really any kind of discord behind the scenes, in my opinion. I think we're very stable. We're a very well-run club, and this is just one minor blip. I don't mean to kind of sound the alarm bell and say this is a disaster. This is what I'm saying. Taking a step back behind the scenes and for the future of the club, we're set up very well for the future.
Listen, Slavisa has ambition, and I think this is his way. I can't speak for him, but it comes off to me as his way of showing his ambition, his belief that he needs X, Y, and Z. And I'm not going to disagree that he doesn't need X, Y, and Z, whatever that is. He needs players. I totally agree with him on that. It's how he's going about it. And if he just sticks to talking to those people and basically do his job, which is coaching the team, hopefully everything else will work itself out in the end and he'll get the players that he needs to win. But that goes back to this whole thing. I don't believe this team is in crisis Fulham Football Club at all. I don't see it that way. That's just my perception. But when you have these articles, it gives a different view of Fulham that I completely disagree with because of those comments. Listen, Max, you and I could talk after the show and we might not agree on everything. But that doesn't mean that you and I have this major issue. We're just disagreeing. And we don't know what these discussions are going on, but it could just be a disagreement. And this is just his way of expressing himself. I just wish he would keep it behind the scenes. And, because, listen, people are going to disagree. They're not going to agree on everything. And I just think that they need, as we said prior, get in a room, whatever issues that you're having, and work them up. All right, my friend. Great article. That's a great way to start the show. But let's enter the Cottage Talk Roundtable. We have a few subjects to discuss. But let's talk about, I think, the most important thing that you and I should be discussing right now are the thoughts of Tony Khan that he expressed to the Telegraph. He had some quotes in there. And basically, Tony talks about the fact that Ryan Sessegnon will stay at Fulham after the January transfer window closes. I think this is extremely excellent news, and this to me, I think, is the most important news during the week, Max, is these quotes from Tony Khan basically saying Ryan Sessegnon will be at Fulham throughout and beyond the January transfer window. We'll worry about the summer when we get to the summer, but it sounds like to me, based on Tony's comments to the Telegraph, that he's going to be a Fulham player.
Yeah, it's remarkable considering. When I heard this came out, I was at first surprised because I thought back and said, how many times has Tony Khan made a direct statement to the British press regarding a Fulham issue? And I really can't think of any occasion which shows this is a very important issue for Tony Khan. This is a rare step that he's taking to make. It was a very forceful statement, basically saying, Sessegnon is not going anywhere. He's going to be with us, and we're going to fight for promotion with Ryan Sessegnon in our side. I think that was what every Fulham fan wanted to hear from Tony Khan, and it really addressed a lot of concerns supporters had about the Khans in general. Some critics, which I think are misfounded, they were saying, you know, they only care about the Jaguars, they're always over in America, they don't really care about Fulham. Well, this is Tony Khan going out there, giving a statement to the press, the British press, saying, Jesse Mourinho's a vital part of our team, and he's going to stay here. So I thought that was, it was an unprecedented step, in my opinion, because I don't really remember the last time Tony Khan has done something like this.
I agree, Max. And what's interesting about this, this message wasn't just to, say, the Fulham supporters. This is also, I believe, this is just my opinion, a message to the other clubs. He's staying with us. You can bid all you want. He's staying with us. That is my opinion. This, my theory on this is that it wasn't just a message to people like you and me. It was also a message to Manchester United, to Tottenham Hotspur, to PSG. Back off. He isn't going anywhere. We're not selling him.
Yeah, and even in The Guardian, I read Real Madrid has been added to the list of clubs looking after him, which is just remarkable. I mean,
it is
just the best clubs in the world, and this is a player that just came through right in SW6, right at home, and it's just crazy to think that we have a player that's wanted by all the biggest clubs in the world, and that he's staying for the second half of the season. Now, one thing I want to ask you, Ross, is that some supporters on social media kind of latched on to the specific nature of Khan's statement, saying that it shows, oh, it's obviously bad news because he's going to be gone in the summer, which they read into saying he'll be here with us for the rest of the season as saying, yeah, he's gone in the summer. What do you think about that kind of interpretation of the quotes?
I wouldn't take it that far, Max. I could see why fans would interpret it that way, that he was just talking about the January transfer window. I think, again, this is just my opinion. He was making that statement not just for the fans, but also to these teams to let them know to back off now so they can concentrate on the rest of the season. Listen, it's a valid point why fans are talking about that, that he didn't come out and say beyond that. He was just talking about the January transfer window. I just think that he was saying that because that's what's in front of us right now. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong on that. I personally wouldn't read into that this means that he's gone in the summer. I think that's just a different situation. It's about situations. The situation in front of Tony Khan and Fulham Football Club right now is the January transfer window, and he was focused on that situation. In my opinion, he will focus on the summer when we get to the summer. I think that's why he was just saying the January transfer window. Does that make sense?
Exactly, yeah, I got you there. And just before we move on, I'd love to bring up this one piece of information that Ryan Sessegnon that I've read on the internet just yesterday.
Okay.
There's a piece published on the League Football Education website, which is an organization that helps young footballers in academies with education. And it's for people exactly like Ryan Sessegnon, a 17-year-old playing for the first team and also trying to get his education at the same time. And in this article, which featured an interview with Sessegnon and also the Academy Head of Education, Sean Cullen at Fulham,
yep,
it shares a story about Sessegnon that I think is so vital to understanding who he is and why he's such an amazing person and footballer. And so Cullen, the head of education, recollects when Sessegnon made his league debut against Leeds United away on a Tuesday night back at the beginning of last season. And he says he played 90 minutes and didn't get back until 2:30 a.m. And this is quotes from Cullen. We weren't expecting him in the next day, but it was one of the first games of the first team. And he didn't know any different. He ended up being the first one in class that morning. That pretty much sums up Ryan. So after his first full league debut, an away match in Ellen Road on Tuesday night, you get back in London at 2:30 a.m., he's the first person in the class in the next morning. Almost, that's unbelievable. That sums up Ryan to me exactly what he said, is that he's such a dedicated person. He's so humble. He keeps his head down. He works hard. And he's not going to say, you know what, just because I'm getting back late, I'm going to skip class. He's the first one in the class that morning. And that's why I'm such a special player at Fulham Football Club. And I really would advise any Fulham supporter to read this article. I can put the link out on Twitter. It's superb. It tells you so much about Sessegnon. That's why we're so lucky.
I totally agree, Max. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the one word that stands out to me when you were reading that quote was character. It shows character to be able to do that after playing that match and then go back to school like that. Again, it just shows character, the type of person he is, the type of upbringing that he has in his family, with him and his brother. It sounds like his family did right by him because they brought him up the right way. And I'm glad that you shared that, my friend. That's very interesting.
Yeah, of course. And I know for me and you, Russ, coming from a more of an American sports background, I love to contrast that story that's passing on against a lot of the college sports players here in the U.S., yep. where you get stories of them, you know, skipping class. And, of course, it's almost impossible to yep. balance Division One sports and football or basketball or whatever against a college education.
Right.
And, of course, I think it's probably unfair to those players to ask them to do it. But it just shows how impressive Sessegnon is. He's actually a professional at this point,
yes.
playing one of the most demanding sports in the world, and he still found time to make time for his education, which
Absolutely.
I think is very laudable.
Totally, Max. Again, it just speaks volumes of himself and his family. And I'm really glad that you brought that up. That we could talk a little bit about Sessegnon, the person, because that shows just character. That quote shows the type of person that Ryan Sessegnon is. And we're lucky to have him at Fulham Football Club, and let's hope we have him for a good amount of time. We'll have to see. We'll worry about that over the summer. But you're getting back to that discussion before. I think that Tony Khan was just focusing on January, and I think we'll worry about the summer when we get to the summer when it comes to Sessegnon. All right, Max, let's now talk about some speculation involving some Fulham players that are interesting. There were links this week to Ryan Fredericks and also Kevin McDonald. They're both interesting for different reasons. Fans are concerned about both of these players because they are important to Fulham for the rest of the season. What are your thoughts when you saw the speculation on Fredericks and also on McDonald?
Yeah, so the Fredericks one for me was, I've seen that reported in many outlets, including a Guardian journalist, which for me, that shows it's when you're moving on from just kind of like the random Twitter pages to actually establish newspapers, that says, okay, this is legit. Between a £3 and £5 million move, but it was unclear whether it was Swansea or Stoke, so I don't actually know what the logistics are with the Fredericks move, whether it will go through. That's just kind of the nature of the window. But obviously, for Fredericks to leave would be a massive blow to the squad. I think everyone can agree on that mark, on that point. Considering he's one of our most consistent starters in the league, he has that unbelievable burst of pace and attack as well. And to lose just our starting right back, considering how low we are on defensive reinforcements already, that would be very worrying.
Right.
And I actually haven't – can you tell me more about the McDonald's transfer links?
Yes.
I know, of course, last there was that Nottingham Forest, but what are the updated ones?
The McDonald speculation involved Rangers, and it involved them. And I'm trying to remember the championship team that it also – involved. But what's interesting about McDonald, that it was written, I can't remember exactly where I saw it, Max, but it was for like a cut rate deal, which makes no sense at all. Both of these don't make sense to me from a footballing perspective. That's why when I looked at this speculation, this is what we get in January, and I have to ask myself, do you really think Fulham would sell either one of these? Now, we could say the same thing about Sone Lukaku. I didn't see that one coming. I did not see that one coming at all. That one did not make sense to me, so I could be wrong on this. But when you look at McDonald and Fredericks, these are two starters. I can't imagine the club, with the ambitions that they have to be in the top six, selling either one of these guys. It doesn't make sense to me. And again, this is just a theory of mine. It could be stories, you know, that involve the agent basically trying to get better deals for their players, the agents, I should say, getting better deals. So this is just my theory that sometimes you get these stories where the agent could be trying to work on the team that they're dealing with. In this case, Fulham, because Max, there was a report out there, I want to say a month ago, that Ryan Fredericks was negotiating again with Fulham, and then you start to see these stories about other teams involved with Ryan Fredericks that are interested in Ryan Fredericks. And my first thought was, maybe this is to do with the agent trying to get a better deal with Fulham, Max. That's just my theory. And it could be the same thing with this speculation with McDonald, because I can't see either one of these players leaving. It makes no sense to Fulham to sell either one of them. And we talked about it on the prior show, a quote from Ryan O'Donovan talking about that Fulham were not going to sell their players. I think then this week he said key players, but I would consider both of these players key players. I'm paraphrasing on Ryan Suites because I don't have them in front of me. But I believe that. And I totally believe that Fulham do not want to sell any of their key players, and I certainly hope that they don't. In the case of either one of these, they sell these two players, it could just be one of them. It would be a massive loss, and it would make no sense. In the case of Fredericks, the only way I would do it, Max, is if you got an upgrade. If you felt that you got a player at right back that was an upgrade, fine. Go ahead and do that if the money was right. But again, they're already shorthanded at the fullback position. Neither one of these makes sense, Max, from a Fulham perspective.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm with you on that one. In terms of McDonald, I think there are always some very weird rumors around him, considering in the summer he said he's really enjoying himself at Fulham, reading on Get West London, when he was linked with them in the summer. He said, you know what, I don't want to leave Fulham. I'm very happy here, and why wouldn't he be? He's one of our most consistent players in the center midfield, and I think he's very valued by Slavisa. And so I think with McDonald, I think the two clubs I'm reading now are Rangers and Borough, Middlesbrough, who are playing this weekend, who have been linked with him. And either of those clubs, I think in Borough would definitely be a sideways step, and Rangers, in my opinion, is a backward step for his career.
Absolutely.
So I don't think that that's going to make any sense for him. Now, I think it's a little bit different with Ryan Fredericks because they are Premier League clubs. And, of course, Fredericks came through the Academy at Tottenham, and was kind of involved in some summer tours with them. He was really on the fringe of the first team at a time early on in his career. So I think in his mind, he does see himself in the Premier League. So I don't know. It might be a bit different for him because if he gets a bid from Stoke or Swansea, those are Premier League clubs. And no matter, they might be in the Championship next season. That still would be seen. But I think that might be a little bit different because that might turn his head. And then I think when the player starts to think, now hold on, I might be playing in the top division, making a lot better wages. Maybe that's when a bit of player wanting to leave can come along, and then maybe Fulham are going to be forced to sell. Now, I hope that's not the case, and we really don't know the inside dealings of these kind of transfers.
Right.
But that's why I fear the Fredericks one might have a bit more reality to it than the McDonald one.
Yeah, that one... We've already talked about that. There were links to Stoke and Swansea, but I think the one from The Guardian was involving Swansea. And what's interesting about this situation, I see what you're saying. If a player gets the opportunity to play in the Premier League, you jump at it. And it's just an interesting situation with him because his contract is running out. And if you have an opportunity to play in the Premier League, well, wouldn't you want to? But then you look at someone like Scott Malone. And I don't think it's worked out as great for Scott Malone as probably he thought it was going to at Huddersfield Town. He's played a little bit, but I don't think he's played as much as he probably thought he was going to play. So the grass isn't always greener, but in the case of Fredericks, it's just an interesting situation. What do you do if you're Fulham? And if I'm Fulham, I hold on to him and I try to renegotiate with him, get him a better long-term deal, Max, and I play it out. If I can't get something done now, I wait until the summer with that risk of losing him for nothing. I take that risk because I believe in this team. If I'm Tony Khan, I look at it. I believe in this team. You take him out of the mix and it hurts you. It could hurt you significantly with his pace, with what he brings down the right. You don't have anyone that can do what he does right now. Dennis Odoi can play right back, but not like Ryan Fredericks can. And I think it would hurt them a great deal. I think you have to weigh it. And if I'm Tony Khan, there is no way I'm selling Ryan Fredericks. I'm playing down that contract. I try to re-sign him, but I stick with him. And I stick with my players. I don't get rid of my players. That's what I would do. And I also think it sends a bad message, Max, if you're selling these players when you're a team that's fighting to get in the top six. I think it definitely sends this message that you don't really are going for it. And I think that they're going to go for it. I think that we're going to get players in. And I think that you need to stand pat when it comes to players that, teams are coming in for. I think you have to do what you just did with Ryan Session. These players aren't for sale. They're not for sale because we are going to try to get in the top six. And you need Ryan Fredericks. And I'll be very disappointed if he goes in this window because I can see his value, and his value is more important right now than the money. If you could give me an upgrade, Okay, but then you have to bring me another right back as well. You would need to bring me two. And I don't think they're prepared to do that, Max. All right, my friend. Good stuff. I enjoyed that little conversation about Fredericks and McDonald. But let's move on. Let's talk about some speculation with players linked to Fulham, which is always interesting. There are a couple. I'm going to add one to the table here. Let's talk about the link to left back Matthew Target of Southampton. There also was one, and I'm reading from a Hammy and our article from yesterday. Fulham linked with loan move for Borthwick Jackson. This is a player for Manchester United. And again, this is a very interesting link. So I just want to mention that as well. So there are these two players now that are linked to Fulham. What are your thoughts about these two players linked to the club, Max?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind when I hear both of these players, and this might be a bit unfair, but the first name that comes to mind is Luke Corbett. You remember him, the Everton fullback who got on loan 2014-15 season. And for me, he was a complete disaster. He was such a poor player compared to the expectation we had of him, of a young, promising fullback for a Premier League side. He played a bit for the first team for Everton and came to us and we're thinking he's going to be a revelation. He was consistently very poor and never lived up to the standards that I think Fulham supporters had of him. And that's why I'm always a little bit cautious when you hear names like Matthew Target, Cameron Borthwick Jackson. These are players who have impressed at times in their limited first-team appearances for the Premier League sides. But when they come down to the championship, are they really going to perform to what we think they're going to perform to? So initially, I was excited when I heard these names because Target and Borthwick Jackson, I've both seen them play in the Premier League. Borthwick Jackson also made some Champions League appearances under the Van Gaal era at United. So these are definitely encouraging signs. And I would welcome them at Fulham, but I'm always going to take it with a grain of salt considering the last experience you had with a Premier League fullback on loan at Craven Cottage.
This is true, and I'm glad that you brought him up. It's very interesting that you brought him up, but the way I look at it, Max, is that you can't look at him as being the norm. You know, it could be a cautionary tale. I think that's where you're going on it. You're looking at it as a cautionary situation. Look what happened with our fullback. But I think that you need to do your due diligence. I think it needs to be checked out, meaning that you have to look at, let's just talk about the stats, obviously, and also the scouting on him. And if you feel that he's a fit, I think that you have to consider it. That's why I'm not against going after young players, but you brought up the downside of it, but not all the situations are going to be like Garbett, Max.
Yeah, I hear you there. I understand that. I was just saying, you know, before I got myself caught up in the beginning. I was like, this is brilliant. These are Premier League players.
I know.
I'm like, wait,
what was the last same thing? Happened?
Yeah, but listen, I would. That being said, I'd love to have either of these quality players at Fulham because if they need Premier League first team appearances, then theoretically they should be able to really perform well for us in our promotion push. So, and listen, the more players we have in defensive positions, as I mentioned before, we're pretty weak in terms of reinforcements and at the back. I would welcome these players. And I think they're going to be hungry. Hopefully they're hungry for first-team appearances,
right?
Considering they're being looked to about that. So they want to play.
Right. The speculation on Target that I've seen on social media is that it's a fitness issue with him that might be causing this deal not to go through. I again, this is just social media talk, so who knows? But I think that Fulham need to check out all of their options here, and if they feel that one of these players is the right option, then they got to move on it because we need help in defense, definitely at the fullback position, Max. All right, let's get into our preview of Middlesbrough versus Fulham on the road again. And let's start this way. I always like to do my stats comparison. And I get all this information from whoscored.com. So let's start here, Max. The one thing that I do want to say that I was thinking about not doing this because I thought maybe it would be a little bit misleading because of the change of manager to Tony Pulis. Because we know Tony Pulis' style is different than how Middlesbrough were playing prior. So it might be a little misleading, but it also tells you a little bit about their play so far this season. So I thought, let's go ahead, let's do the stats comparison, see if they tell us anything about what's been going on with Middlesbrough this season. So here we go, Max. Let's start with goals. Middlesbrough are 12th with 35. Fulham are tied at fifth with 39, which I find interesting. Okay, let's look at shots per game. Middlesbrough tied at 14th with 12.3. Fulmer at third, Max, at 13.9. Aerials won. Middlesbrough are 13th at 22, and Fulmer dead last at 14.5. Here are the interesting stats. Let's go here. Let's talk about possession. Middlesbrough are 10th in the league at 51.7. Fulmer first at 56.6. Passing success. Middlesbrough are 7th at 77.4, which is good. But Fulmer first, Max, at 82.5. Crosses per game. Middlesbrough are tied at 8th with 19. Fulmer tied at 17th with 17. Long balls. Middlesbrough are tied at 19th with 170. And Fulmer dead last with 59. Short passes per game. Middlesbrough are 9th at 359. Fulmer first, once again, Max, at 466. So we have three categories that Fulham are first in the league, which is very interesting. Thoughts on the stats comparison, Max? What stands out to you?
Yeah, just in terms of Fulham, whenever you read out our possession ranks, and as you mentioned, we're first this week, and I'm always thinking like, wow, what if that was a league table? You know, every second, first. I'm like, that's what everyone thought at the beginning of the season would be like, or challenging for the top two. If only it was in terms of possession, we would be on our way to the Premier League. But, of course, football's not played like that. Yeah, and the thing about Burrow that really interested me, that you mentioned with the stats about the long balls,
yeah,
they were in the bottom six and five. And I expect that to change, of course, with...
I was going to say, I totally expect that to change under Pulis.
I'm surely going to shoot up the table with a great top six push for long balls per match under Pulis. Because, you know, of course, he's known for playing that very direct, agricultural type of football. And he's only really been there for three or four league matches.
Right.
So I don't think we've really seen his effect on the statistics yet. But certainly from what we've seen is that under Monk, they weren't really playing how they'll play under Pulis.
I know.
It might be a bit of a wild card for Stevie. But one thing that did surprise me is how high they were in possession and short passing, which shows these players are kind of used to playing a style that Pulis might not exactly agree with.
Right.
So, there might not be that kind of dissonance. You know, it's always going to take a while for a new manager to transform his players and implement his philosophy. And, of course, Pulis is known as being as really stressing that type of philosophy. He's going to be very workmanlike, very regimented, and he's going to make the players reflect that. So I think we'll see more of a classic Pulis side when Fulham play them on Saturday.
Okay, excellent, Max. All right, let's go to characteristics of Middlesbrough. Again, all this information is from whoscored.com. But let's start where both teams are on the table. Middlesbrough are currently eighth. They have 12 victories, 5 draws, 9 losses. They've scored 35. They've given up 26. They're in a +9 goal differential and are on 41 points. Fulmer 10th with 10 victories, 9 draws, 7 losses. Fulham scored 39. They've given up 34. +5 goal differential and earned 39 points. Now let's go to characteristics of Middlesbrough. Strengths, very strong in all three of these categories. Coming back from losing positions, defending set pieces, protecting the lead. Weaknesses, avoiding individual errors. Style of play, short passes, attempt through balls often, consistent first to 11, aggressive. Opponents play aggressively against them. But like you and I are talking, Max, I think the style of play is going to change, and it could change against Fulham with Tony Pulis now in charge. So this could be a little misleading, but I wanted to mention what WhoScored.com has said about Middlesbrough anyways because of the players. They have a ton of talented players, and I'm going to go through them, Max, because I was looking at it. And just look at this team. I mean, they are very talented, extremely talented. Their leading goal scorer is Britta Sambalanga. We know all about him. He has scored 12 goals. Martin Braithwaite has scored 5 goals. But up front, you're talking about, they list that as a 4-3-3. I believe they do play, I guess you could say a 4-2-3-1, but I'm just going to list some of the players, Max, when you look at them. We know so many of these. You have Traore, Assambalanga, Stuart Downing, Ledbetter, Housen. I'm not familiar with Guediora, but if, again, the majority of these players, I think fans are going to know.
Friend,
Gibson, Ayala, Christie, and Randolph happens to be a decent goalkeeper. And then you look at other players. I mean, they have other players as well that I haven't even mentioned. Rudy Gesteed, I didn't even mention him. And they have, listen, this is a deep team with a lot of talent, and they should be higher up the table than they are, Max. But I want to get your thoughts on Middlesbrough ahead of this match.
Yeah, as you mentioned, they're just chock full of Premier League talent. Look at their starting 11. 8, 9 players, Premier League talent. That's just unbelievable. There's so much Premier League experience in here. And even the bench, as you mentioned, Gestad, Patrick Bamford, Ryan Shawden.
Patrick Bamford,
these are players. These are players who have really played in the Premier League for a long time and really impressed in some situations, and also know the Championship very well at that. So this is a side that everyone thought, along with Fulham, you could say, at the beginning of the season, would really be challenging for the top two, well, certainly in the top six. But we really find ourselves in a really similar position as Borough. We're only 2 points behind them, are both on the outside looking in right now. So I think, especially now with Pulis at the helm, someone who has experience in bringing sides up from the Championship. Of course, he did it with Stoke in 2007-2008 season. He knows what to do to get a team promoted, as does Slavisa with Watford. So these are similar sides. I think it's going to be a very entertaining match, in my opinion. As you mentioned before, with the who scored stats that say they're Middlesbrough aggressive and teams play aggressively against them, I think that's going to lead to another exciting game. And I think these are two of the most talented sides in terms of starting 11 in the division. So we should see a very good match. And I think Borough, with all their talent, as we know, they're going to go out for them, and Fulham are going to respond to them. The 1-1 match back in early 2017, in the beginning of this season, was certainly entertaining. A lot of late drama there. I think we're going to be in for a real treat tomorrow afternoon as well.
Okay, excellent, Max. One thing that I want to mention from watching the video that I watched, and it's pretty obvious, something that really concerns me ahead of this match, and I think you're going to agree with me on this, they're set pieces. They're dangerous on set pieces. In fact, I saw a few goals on set pieces. We're not strong defending set pieces, Max. Let's talk about that, because this continues to be a weakness for Fulham.
Yeah, and of course, back in the home fixture, they equalized late on after a corner. So they've already heard of the set piece once this season. So we'll have to be aware of that. And yeah, as you mentioned, really since, you could say, 2013-14 season, even farther beyond that, Fulham have been very poor at set pieces, just conceding goals in the air. And it's kind of baffling considering Timory and Thomas Kalla, our two first-choice central defenders, are quite good in the air. I mean, you think they're good in the air. They're tall, they're imposing. But a lot of times, we lose our concentration sometimes. It's unclear what it is. And it's been around so long at Fulham. I remember it was really at its worst, probably, in the Kit Simmons era, when you're just conceding a lot of goals for fun. And that, is it almost an organizational thing? Is it almost built into the Fulham ethos? Of course, we've had totally new players since then. So it is interesting to see what the root is.
Right.
But we always struggle against physical teams. And of course, we never score our set pieces. You know, one of the last times I scored off a corner in the league. I've heard people say
point.
Boxing Day 2016. You know, some like Ragnar Sigurdsson's goal against Ipswich.
Oh boy,
that's the last one I can remember. Someone correct me if I'm wrong on Twitter, but
that's crazy.
Certainly, we haven't scored off corner this season. I'm fairly certain.
Yeah,
it's just not something we do, and it's. I'd love to know your explanation if you have one, because it really just baffles me as well.
The only thing I can think of, Max, again, is it concentration that they have issues defending, or is it also just not having enough tall players? I hate to just mention that, not having physical enough players that can offset some of these teams. You know, I look at John Terry scoring like that, and it drove me nuts. And we've seen this too many times. So could it just be a style issue that we play a certain way so we don't have these types of players that can offset defending well on set pieces? I don't know. It's interesting, Max. I don't have a great answer there because I'm not 100% sure, but I think part of it could potentially be that we don't have players that defend in a physical manner. You know, again, our center backs are not overly physical. They're not. They're good, but they're more footballing center backs, if that makes any sense, Max. So we don't have a lot of these physical players. I think Kevin McDonald is one that can do that, but I just think that maybe it could just be a style issue that we play a certain way. So when we get in these situations, when we're defending against set pieces, we don't have the players that this is their strength. It's more of a weakness.
Yeah, and also remember our last league match against Ipswich, when they went ahead, it was through a set piece.
Yeah.
Not defending on that one was just abysmal.
Yeah.
I mean, no one knew where their man was.
It was horrible.
The person who scored, though, Joe Garner, he's hardly a overpowering aerial presence. He's not that tall, and he snuck in there and nodded like with ease, and the full defense was just in tatters. So that's worrying. And I've heard people in the past kind of say, listen, Bettinelli doesn't control his goal very well. Doesn't control set pieces or crosses. And I have something to discuss. Maybe are we going to blame the goalkeeper? But, of course, Bud and Bettinelli really switched over the past month, so I don't think you can put it down to one person in the back line.
Okay, excellent there, Max. It's a bad problem. We'll just say that, and let's hope it doesn't show itself against Middlesbrough, because I could definitely see it based on what I watched. It could be an issue. Whenever a set piece is happening against Fulham on Saturday, I know I'm going to be holding my breath because I'm going to think, oh, here we go again. And this team, I'm telling you, they have the people that can actually take those set pieces and the other on the other side connect on them. So it's it could be an issue tomorrow. So I just want to mention on Saturday. All right, Max, here's an interesting question for you, because we're talking about the head coaches here, Pulis and Slavisa. Who do you give the advantage to heading into this match? Which team do you think has the advantage in the coaching part of this? It's interesting because you have two coaches that have contrasting styles, but also have a good amount of experience. Who do you give the advantage to?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, because Pulis, of course, very successful, known as a Premier League, you know, relegation avoider. Very experienced in the Premier League, of course. He's done it for West Brom, Palace, Stoke, and, of course, enjoyed immense success at Stoke for just under 10 years there. So he really knows how to discipline a side, keep clean sheets, and play directly, but also achieve success doing that. But what I like to think about is the last time he was in the Championship, it was 2008. You know, that was a very long time ago. 10 years ago, he was in the Premier League. And when a manager kind of takes that step down after a while, you know, although he is used to the kind of direct style of play, which may favor the Championship, some might argue, I think you can't really replace experience in terms of just what you've been doing over the past 10 years. So I think he might have been a difficult time adjusting to the second division after so much time in the first division. And I just think in this stage, his styles maybe are getting a bit outdated. As you saw at West Brom when they went, you know, 10 matches without a win leading to a sacking, maybe the Tony Pulis style is kind of exiting the game. You know, that could be a theory. So for me, I'm going to go with Slavisa. He's a manager who I think knows how to change his system when it needs to be changed.
Yep.
He's a manager who has strong philosophies, but also is adaptable. He's also been promoted with his really first experience in the Championship, which shows he knows the league pretty well. So I'm going to go with Slavisa Jokanović in this one.
I agree with you. I'm just going to add the reason why I'm agreeing on this. I think something that we haven't mentioned is that Savisa's experience, this is his third season with Fulham compared to Pulis coming in. So he knows his team at this point. He knows the Championship. I look at it, I have to give the edge to Savisa because he knows his team, and Pulis is just getting there and implementing his style. And I think that's going to take time. So I'm going to give the advantage to Savisa here. All right, Max, we've already been talking about several players for Middlesbrough. Which ones concern you the most heading into this match?
Yeah, you know, the obvious one is Britt Asambolanga. He's going to be their big presence up top. Someone who also interests me is going to be Adama Traore.
Yes.
He's just possesses unbelievable pace, and he can give our fullbacks a really tough time of it. And he's also very strong and powerful. And also, it remains to be seen whether Gestad might be given the start. He played, he's got a goal in the FA Cup win against Sunderland, and he's another massive AO presence. And maybe Pulis says, you know, against Fulham, a team who's not great at defending crosses and balls into the box, maybe exposing Gestad, and that will also worry me. But really, Russ, the thing about Middlesbrough is you could go through the entire 11 and even a couple of substitutes and say a name, and you'd be scared. They have such a strong lineup through and through. So that just tells you about Middlesbrough, that they're very, very threatening.
Absolutely. For me, it's Assombalonga. Assombalonga scares me a great deal, and I know he can score goals, so I look right at him. But I'm glad that you brought up Gesteed. It could be Gesteed and not Assombalonga. So who knows? It could be both of them. I don't know what Pulis is going to do, but they have many talented players. So pick your poison, basically. But I'm going to go with Assombalonga as the player that scares me the most. All right, Max, let's now talk about key players for Fulham. Before we do that, I do have to mention this. This is from Savice's presser, and this is something that we're going to have to watch when the starting 11 comes out, because I know I'll be looking for that starting 11, concerned who's going to be in it. Here's a quote from Savice from his presser. Quote, Betts and McDonald have been working with us. We will have to assess the situation with TC. That's Tom Kearney, and Ayite is out. All right, Max, who are your key players? Keep in mind what I just read to you from Savisa from his presser, because the player that concerns me heading into this match, fitness-wise, and I hope we don't have to say this the rest of the season, is Tom Kearney.
Yeah, that's obviously worrying. He was missing for the FA Cup tie, and we saw how much quality we were missing without him on the side.
Yep.
So that's going to be a massive loss. So that being said, a player I think is going to come into the starting 11 might be Lucas Piazza in that kind of creative center midfield role. And this is his time really to reannounce himself. So listen, I'm back. He didn't really impress me in the FA Cup match in Southampton, but I guess that was against Premier League opposition, so she cut him a bit of slack for that. But this is his real chance, I think. If Kearney's out, I think he'll slot back into the center midfield, and he can show why he can be so valuable for Fulham in the second half of the season. And in addition to Piazza, I'm going to say Abubakar Kamara is going to be a very key player. In an away match such as this, he showed how dangerous he can be, whether it be against Nottingham Forest or against Hull City, where he got a double. And he's on unbelievable form. He's probably one of the most informed Fulham players along with Sessegnon. I'd love to see what he can do away at the Riverside.
And he did score his first Fulham goal against Middlesbrough. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, that header. Of course. So
Very good
he loves
header.
playing against them.
Hopefully he does, and hopefully he'll be playing. I hope he does start in this match, Max. All right. What do Fulham need to do to win this match against Middlesbrough?
Yeah, we've talked about how they need to be resolute at the back, because we know with the Pulis style, and especially with Fulham's weaknesses, they're going to target us, I think, in terms of balls into the box.
Yep.
With the style of play, with the Sambalanga
That's what I
and
would
maybe
do.
even Gested. So yeah, exactly. That's what I would do if I were playing Fulham. Exactly. So we're gonna have to just remain resolute at the back, remain solid, and of course take our chances. One thing that I think has changed in the last couple of weeks, certainly in the Ipswich match, is that we took our chances. In a lot of other matches, we've had a lot of chances as well, but the finishing hasn't been there.
Right.
But in recent weeks, we've just taken our chances and scored them. We might not have had more chances. We're just being a lot more clinical. And if we can continue that clinical nature that Kamara and Sessegnon in particular have definitely shown, then I think we will be in a very good position to get something positive out of this match.
Okay, excellent there, Max. All right, it's time to go to your starting 11. What would you be doing if you were Savisa on Saturday against Middlesbrough?
It's an interesting one because there are so many moving parts in the starting 11. But I'm going to go with a back four. I'm going to have Ben Mellin in goal, and I'm going to have Fredericks at the back, along with Callison Reid in the center of the defense. And they're going to have Dennis Odoi at left back. Midfield three, of course, with no Kearney. I think it will be McDonald, Piazon, and Johansson. And the front three will be Kamara, Ojo, and Sessegnon.
I like that. I actually really like that, Max. That's,
Yeah.
but again, we're gonna have to see. But I have a bad feeling about Tom Kearney in this match. I hope that he can go, but the fact that Savisa mentioned that worries me that he will not be available. But I'm glad that you mentioned Piazon. People forget about Piazon. I think Piazon is gonna help us out a great deal for the rest of the season, and I wouldn't be against doing what you just suggested if Tom Kearney cannot play. Very interesting take there, my friend. All right, let's go to predictions. Let's start with the Cottage Talk Twitter poll that I did earlier today. I had 157 votes, Max. This is very interesting results here. Win was at 38%. Draw, 32%, and losses at 30%. So think about that. It's pretty split all three ways there. All right, let's go to predictions on the Cutters Talk Facebook page. I have a ton of them. I can't get to all of them, but I will get to some of them. Let's start with Chris Davidson. Could be a 3-0 loss, as I don't think we're in a good place right now with more poor performances than good. John Walsh says, Fulham 3-2 wins, Seth, to score in 91st minute. Barry Pierce says, 2-1 to Fulham. Tony Miles, I think a draw, 1-1. Gary Martin, Sessegnon in defense, 2-0 loss. Sessegnon as forward, 3-2 win. I like that. George Kenton says, 3-1 to Fulham after coming from behind. Gary Cooper, 2-1 to Borough. Stephen O'Keefe, I hope I'm wrong, but 2-1 to Borough. Andrew Haywood, 2-0 to Borough. Jared Griffiths, 2-2 draw. And I have a bunch of more, but we just don't have time to get through all of them. Thank you, everyone, that shared your prediction. All right, Max, over to you. Your prediction for this match.
I feel like I'm being known as the overly optimistic one here, but I just feel that we really excel in a way matches against top opposition. We saw it against Sheffield United, and we've really seen the pat against Cardiff as well, of course. I just think we can get a win here. I think it's going to be gritty. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think it's going to be Fulham 1, Middlesbrough 0. That's on the young list. And I just think the confidence we got after the Ipswich match and after the festive fixtures, we're on a very good run of form. I just believe the side can pull out something special. I believe in them, especially considering what I saw against Cardiff. That is a moment for me changed the context of the season and just made, I think, the players as well as the supporters believe that we can pull off something like we did in the second half of last season.
Okay. Max, I hope you're right. Let's just start there. I hope you're right. I really want you to be right. This might shock some people. I'm predicting a Fulham loss and not a good loss. I'm predicting a 3-1 Fulham loss. And let me explain why. Max, in all sports, we see it here. We see it in football. We see it everywhere. It's about matchups. This is a bad matchup for Fulham. I look at this. I look at this team. I now look at Pulis coming, the timing of it. It reeks of bad matchup for me because this team can take advantage of Fulham's weaknesses. So that's why I am going for a 3-1 Fulham loss. It pains me to do that, but that's just how I feel. And it's not that I feel that I'm down on Fulham Football Club. This to me is about the opponent more than Fulham. This team can take advantage of what Fulham does bad. And that worries me. So I am going to go with a Middlesbrough win here, Max. Sorry about that.
No, I mean, it is 3-1, so I can't say I'm totally surprised. but yeah, I mean, I can totally see those rationales. And listen, it's not out of the question. I mean, I think what the poll showed with kind of the even nature of what people were predicting is that this is a side that is inconsistent, you know, that turns in performances that are pretty radically different week in, week out. And we haven't really hit our consistent stride yet, which I would agree with. So there's certainly a possibility for us to get spanked here.
I just look at this as just a bad matchup for Fulham, bad timing, bad everything. And this doesn't change how I feel about the club moving forward. I still think Fulham will be fighting for the top six. I totally feel that way. But in this one matchup against Tony Pulis and those players, I don't feel confident, and that's why I'm going with a Fulham loss here. And you know, I'm Mr. Positive, so it takes a lot for me to get there. But I'm looking at one team and I'm looking at another team, and sometimes teams match up badly, and this is a bad matchup for Fulham, talent wise, and that they can take advantage of too many things that Fulham don't do well, and that's defense set pieces. That's my number one concern heading into this match. After what I watched, it's like, oh no, this doesn't look good. I have a feeling this is going to remind me of that Aston Villa match. That's what I'm thinking about when I'm going to this prediction. That Aston Villa match, the exact same way. This is a team that I think can do what Aston Villa did to Fulham, and that's what scares me about this game. So that's why I'm going for that result. All right, Max, great show, fantastic show. Before we go, I just want to mention a couple of things. Yesterday was actually a very special day for me, Max. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter or on Facebook, But it was my daughter's 14th birthday. It's a big day, January 11th. But my daughter also has something else in common that's phone related. And on January 11th, 2007, Max, Clint Dempsey joined Fulham. Yes. On the same day of my daughter's birthday, he joins Fulham, which is very interesting that it's all intertwined, because without Clint Dempsey coming to Fulham on that day, on January 11th, it could have been any day, but we're talking about that he decided to come to Fulham. I don't become a Fulham supporter. It's as simple as that. So I will always be grateful for Clint Dempsey for making the move from the New England Revolution to Fulham Football Club on January 11th, 2007, the same day my daughter was born, on January 11th, 2004, so 3 years later. But on January 11th, they have that in common. It's very interesting, so I just thought I would share that. One last thing I want to mention that we've talked about before, Max. Listen, there are some excellent podcasts out there. I want to recommend all of them because I listen to all of them. I listen to the Fulhamish podcast. I just want to mention that Mike Gregg was on the recent episode talking stats at the very end of the show. Definitely listen to Mike. Mike always has something interesting to say. So Sammy had something very nice to say about Cottage Talk. So I want to give a shout out right back to Sammy James and the guys behind the Fulhamish podcast. You guys do an excellent job. Also want to mention the job that Ryan O'Donovan and his team at Get West London do on It's All White podcast. That's another excellent podcast. One other podcast I want to mention, I just listened to an episode, was excellent, of Fulham Focus. So go to fulhamfocus.com and check out their podcast. They do an excellent job as well. And we have so many choices of podcasts now, different talk that we can listen to on Fulham. That's so great. And I want to mention that because it's something that I always envisioned, there being all these different shows talking about Fulham, not just Cottage Talk. Listen, I'm a fan of the New England Patriots. I can't tell you how many shows talk about the Patriots. And I listen and I watch so many of them. So I always wanted there to be more shows. And I'm happy that we have so many great choices as Fulham fans. So just want to mention all the other podcasts that are out there. Check them all out. Listen to them. All right. All right, Max. Great show. Fantastic show. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Russ. It's always such a pleasure to be on here. It's become quite the Friday tradition, and it's just one of the best parts of my week. It's talking to Fulham and getting properly up for the match on Saturday. And, you know, the only way to make it better is to back it up with the 3 points.
So let's hope
that's what I'm hoping for. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, as always.
Well, it was great having you on, and let's hope that I am dead wrong on this. I'm praying that I'm dead wrong on my prediction. I don't want to be right here. That was just, I feel like I needed to make that prediction. And it's always great to have you on, Max. But it is time to go. For Max Cohen, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.